Daniel chapter number 3. While you find that, I just want to share a little bit with you about the nursing home ministry yesterday. We got to go, and me and Kenneth and Swain, and they was really playing them instruments, you know, and sounded really good, and Kenneth even let me sing with him, and he didn't make me be quiet or anything. He let me sing with him. Keith had said it before, a lot of times we don't get a big response. I mean, up there at that nursing home, we get a good turnout, but I mean, you just don't know if you're reaching anybody. Well, I don't know if it was just Keith's bad luck or what. He wasn't there, and we seen some stuff, didn't we? But I know it wasn't because he wasn't there. It was just because that's how the Lord worked, and it got through to somebody yesterday.
Amen.
And we had us a good service and had a good singing service. And those two songs that Kenneth sung today, I requested he sang them today because he sung them up there. And that one he sung this morning, we're here today and gone tomorrow. He about not got to quit it. I thought they was going to make him sing it three times. But they made him sing it twice, and it really touched at least four people up there I know that was touched then. The Lord laid on my heart not a very long message, but he laid on my heart to do something else after the message, and that was to go pray with anybody that needed prayer, and that was there. So I started walking, and every table I stopped at, if there was a request, I prayed, or they just didn't have a request, they said, just pray for me. Yeah. But I wanted to bring to you three requests that I brought back with me. One was a lady that she's asking that the Lord would heal her body. She's got some pain and some afflictions. And she says a lot of people don't believe that God can still heal people. She said, but I believe He can. And if you do, will you pray for me? I said, ma'am, I know He can, and I'll pray with you.
Amen.
So we prayed. Then there was another little lady that sat beside her. She said, I'm here trying to get stronger. She said, they don't think I can take care of myself because I live by myself, I believe is how she said it. And she said, I want to get strong enough to go home. He said, but I want you to pray that the Lord's will would be done in that situation. If He wants me to go home, I can go home. And if not, that I can be a blessing here.
Amen.
So remember that prayer request.
Amen.
And then there was an elderly black gentleman. Now, when he was a young man, I don't know how tall he would have been, because he was about as tall as I am when he was sitting down. He just had a big smile on his face and said, what I want you to pray for me is that the Lord will give me strength just to hold on to Him.
Amen.
Amen. What a Amen. Prayer request. I mean, they could have said, I mean, you know, we get down in the dumps and we cry and mope around, and we got three cars in the yard and can go anytime we want to, and can do anything we want to,
yep.
And we can't. We
That's
won't
right.
even come to church.
Yep,
but they had prayer requests like that.
Mm.
Man,
Hallelujah.
Tears me up. But anyhow, Keith called me last night and told me that he may have to leave and asked me to do this tonight. So, hey, the Lord works good. I mean, you know, I was proud. I was happy to be able to preach at that nursing home, and I'm going to get a chance to preach tonight. So that's two times in one weekend. Amen. Look out. So I'll try not to keep you too long, but I ain't making no promises because they call me short, but not when I'm preaching. But anyway, I've prayed about what the Lord had me bring today, and I've had several messages lately that I thought maybe might be it, but this is one that I preached at the men's breakfast the other week,
and
I guess y'all going to get a chance to hear it. We didn't record it then, so some of y'all some of you had to work. Now, Wayne had to work, so I can't get on him for laying out. But he had to work, but maybe he'll. I had a few more points. I don't know if I'll get to them tonight, so we'll try. But anyway, in the book of Daniel, chapter number 3, we're going to start off in verse number 1. So if you would stand and as we read God's word. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof was 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, and the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbute, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbute, psaltery, and all the kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." In verse number 16, it says, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king." Well, wait a minute, I've skipped too far ahead. Let's see. Well, we'll read 16. We'll pick it up there. "And that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." It says, "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his vicious was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And therefore he spake and commanded that they would heat the furnace 17 more times than it want to be heated." Amen. Brother Keith, you take us to the Lord in prayer.
Dear Father, Lord, it's been in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for this time you've given us. Lord, thank you for Brother Johnny. Lord, I pray you just bless him, Lord. Fill him with your spirit. God, use him for your glory tonight. Lord, I pray you just touch your word. God, I pray we'd have receptive hearts and you just meet each need. Draw us close to you. We pray we'd be the servant of God we need to be. And thank you, Lord, for all the testimonies today, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for the testimony about the nursing home. Lord, I pray you just continue to touch those requests and those folks there, and thank you for them. Lord, I pray that you just bless and do what needs to be done tonight. Lord, we'll thank you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I didn't mess up, really. We just give it to you in the way the Lord wants you to have it right now. We'll get that all straightened out in just a little bit. Amen. Now, here's what we got. We got Nebuchadnezzar. The king has made an image of gold and said, if you don't worship it, I'm going to kill you. We ain't going to take it before no jury. We ain't going to take it before no judge. In that same hour, you're going to die. And he told them how they're going to die. He said, you're going to get thrown into a fiery furnace. You're going to burn. Now, that's the situation we have here. And in verse number 8, we learned that it says, "Wherefore at the time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." They just confirming what they already heard. Said, we know what you're going to do, but they're going to make sure before we accuse somebody. This is not my message. My message is not about these or not about the golden image. All right, we're going to get to it in just a minute. But then we learned that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's the three that's being accused. Okay? And they said that we're not going to bow down. It said, in verse number 14, it says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Verse number 19. Now we're getting into the part that we all know and can quote when you say Daniel chapter number 3. It says, then when Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury in the form of his visage, was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he got so mad at him, his appearance changed. He didn't look like himself. I've seen people get mad at me, but they didn't change the way they looked. This man was mad. Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury in the form of his visage, was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth man is like the Son of God. Amen. I'm glad somebody shouted at that point. I was getting worried. I thought maybe y'all done fell asleep. I was hoping somebody would shout and emphasize my point here. What I want to talk to you about tonight is, when do you see God? When do you see God? We all get happy. We all shout there at the end when it says, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the fourth man is like the Son of God. Amen. I'm glad he's there when we're in the midst of the trouble. I'm glad he's there when we're in the midst of the storm. Amen. Yeah. Ain't no doubt them boys was in trouble. Yeah. Because when you get human flesh around fire, the fire normally ain't going out. Amen. It burns, let me tell you. And I've made that analogy before. I know what it's like. I've been burnt in several different ways, and with heat and with fire and running and getting drugged across the road. But I've seen people burn a whole lot worse than I ever was burnt. I've seen people killed in fires. I've seen and everything else. Let me tell you, it's not an odor you're going to ever forget. Okay? And no doubt, this king, I believe he had a little memory problem. But he probably smelt burning flesh before. But you know what? This is chapter 3 of Daniel, and we're reading about he gets mad at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But in the last verse of chapter 2, it's talking about Daniel, and he's interpreted the dreams for Nebuchadnezzar. It says, then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel was set in the gate of the king. These three men wasn't just any people walking down the street. These three men were the same nation as Daniel, and here they was set over things for Nebuchadnezzar. No doubt he knew them very well. He had them ruling part of his stuff. Y'all can do this right. Said y'all making, they was making him money, no doubt, or he wouldn't have them there. And that's maybe part of the reason he got so mad at them. Here I made y'all over this, and y'all ain't even going to do what I've commanded like all these other people are doing. And so I'm just going to burn y'all quicker. But anyway, we're down at 25, and we're kind of going to go backwards here. Now, everybody, amen, that said they could see God when they was in a storm. You know what? We really do see Him when we're there, when we're at the bottom of the pit, or at the end of our rope, or however you want to say it. We can feel Him and we can see Him. But, amen, I want to tell you He's there before you get that far. Amen. We're going back way on up where it says in 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, now watch this, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, if somebody asks a serious question and I got to be careful, you know, if somebody asks me a question and I'm thinking I need to be careful how I answer this or put some thought into answering this, you know, I'm going to wait a minute. But now, what does it mean when they say we're not careful to answer this? We ain't going to wait long enough that we can mess it up. We're going to answer you right now. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. He said, if it be so, we'll walk out of this fire. But either way, we're going to be out of your hands. Either way. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Amen. Now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I believe they were seeing God before they got in the fire. They knew he was there. We know you're around. Amen. And he said, you know what? This is the Old Testament, folks. Now, this is the Old Testament. This is an example of faith that we ought to be having. Amen. The Bible talks about the faith of grain of a mustard as the grain of a mustard seed. And you know what? The English language, I have trouble with the English language. Okay? I have trouble with the English language. But part of the problem with the English language is we've lowered the meaning of some words. And as our cultures advance, we become less dependent on what previous cultures were dependent upon. Mustard, we know mustard seeds real small. But back at this time, if you had a bag full of mustard seed, it was probably worth more than a bag full of gold. Okay? So it's a valuable piece. It's a valuable thing. And a spice itself only takes a little bit to change a lot. You don't have to have a lot of spice in something to really add the flavor to it. As a matter of fact, you put too much spice in it and you just ruin the whole thing. So what he's saying there when he's talking about just that little bit of faith, it's not that it's a small amount, it's that it's big enough to be all you need. Big enough to be all you need. So they had some faith here to stand before Nebuchadnezzar and say, our God's able. Our God's able. But if not, be it known, O King, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And then it says in verse number 19, it says, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, I was serious when I said what I said. The form of his visage, that means his literal appearance was changed. Now, that's mad. He done got so mad and frowned so hard that his face stuck that way. I mean, you know, he done changed the way he looked. He spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. I mean, it was plenty hot enough to kill somebody. But he was so mad. He's so mad that if I can make it hurt anymore, that's what I'm going to do. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Now, when we was here with the men the other week, I had a good example, but my example walked out the door. But Jacob was here with us the other week. Now, I told him, I said, now, which one would you rather have binding you, Jacob or me? Now, keep in mind, I know how to bind pretty good because I bound a lot of prisoners. And Jacob's just a little thing. So no doubt the king picked the most mighty men. He didn't want the little ones. He didn't want the young ones. He wanted them that had some experience. And he said, bind these boys up. And it says, then these men were bound in their coats and their hose and their hats and their other garments. And then it says, they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, amen. I can see God there, because why didn't it kill Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the same time it killed them mighty men? I'm going to tell you why. It's because God wrapped his hands around them and just let them walk in there. The other men, they died outside the furnace. And these were mighty men, warrior men, strong men. And these others, it don't tell us that, you know, their physical appearance nor nothing else, but they was already bound up. Tied up, might have looked like a bunch of mummies with all them clothes on and ropes and everything tied to them. And they had to go into fire. And them other men died before they got there. Because, I mean, I can see them just running them, and they fall over dead, and they just keep on walking. Just keep on getting it. So we'll get in there. Can y'all see God there? Can you think back into a time of your life when something was happening and you really thought God wasn't there, but He really was? Amen. I can't explain to you how I still got a head on my shoulders. I had a wreck in a flat-sided truck, drugged 60 feet across the road on my head and on my arm. And the two dents in the truck in the front end was hit by a little bitty car. And the two dents was at the place where my head and my arm was. And the rest of it was God just holding it up. Otherwise, I'd be flat as a fritter. Now, they can call it luck or whatever they want to. I told them it's God the whole time. But, I mean, I can't use nobody else as an example because I don't know what you've gone through. But in that physical aspect, I can use myself. I mean, you know, it's physically impossible to do the things I do. I mean, I shouldn't. I mean, I complain too much, and most of y'all don't hear me complain, but I complain too much. I had two vertebrae in my neck broke. My shoulder was broke. Took them 6 months to find that. I still can't feel my left leg. It took a year and a half for my back to go back into place, and they don't know if anything else is going to ever get better or not. They know I've got permanent nerve damage, and they've stuck 3-inch needles from my ankle to the base of my skull every inch. I told them the next test we do like that, I get the needle. But amen, I try not to complain. But we in a body of flesh like we learned about this morning in our Sunday school lesson. But these boys had something to complain about, didn't they? We fixing to get 30. What if that would have been, I told them too, and I hate to reflect back like that saying I told them, but I just happened to remember this. I said, it's good anyhow. I said, take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of this situation right now and put three deacons from the biggest Baptist church you can find right now. Any Baptist church. Take three deacons out of it. And if that king says, if y'all don't bow down, I'm going to throw you in that furnace. One of them's going to say, well, we just borrowed a bunch of money and bought a house and got three new cars and my wife can't make it, I got to bow. And the other one might say, I'm just a young man, I want to live a long time. I got to bow. And the other one might say, well, I get a lot of prestige from this title I got, but, you know, I ain't seen God do nothing for me. I might bow. I'm going to bow. I believe they'd bow so fast they wouldn't even get a string struck on the guitar myself. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We need to see God before we get to the end of our ropes, before we get to the bottom of our barrels. We need to take this example and use it and hold it up for something for us to aim for. Because like I said, this is Old Testament. They had a lot of prophecy about the coming Christ. But that's what they had. They had prophecy about it. And they had, I mean, that's a picture of faith that you can't find in a lot of Baptist churches. The people here, there's no doubt to me, y'all got faith because y'all faithful to come. But we need a little extra. We need to pray for that little bit of extra faith so we can get on to ones that ain't coming. You know what? There was another message I had, and I prayed about it, and I thought maybe the Lord was leading that way, but He didn't. But I believe He's going to give me a chance to mention it. We'll call it Coming Attractions. Amen. Talking about the three men that got the talent from the Lord and one buried it. That's what Christians are doing today. We get salvation from the Lord and we just sit on it. And that ain't what we're supposed to do, are we? And the example with those other ones is they went out and done a little work with it. Amen. And they got returns on it. Amen. We're looking for a return up yonder, not down here. We need to get busy. Let's get back to today's message. Verse number 23 says, "And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" You know, amen, the king there thought maybe he had an addition problem. "And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king," he says, "he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth man is like the Son of God." Amen. Now, I'll reiterate, we're in the Old Testament. Y'all know that. I said Daniel, and y'all thought, what, is he crazy? But they knew who the Son of God was before. Ain't that something? He done knowed he messed up, didn't he? I told you he's got a memory problem. Chapter 2, we learned about Nebuchadnezzar and all that Daniel done for him. And he set Daniel way up high. And Daniel requested that these three be set in the same thing. And he put them there, and then he done forgot who they was. He done forgot whose God was, who was their God. But he said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire." And every time I read this, I'm reminded of that picture you see so much about footprints in the sand. That's how we think about God. If we could look back on our life and like our life was a long piece of sand, sandy shoreline, and we could mark down each trial we went through and see one set of footprints, we'd come to the end and say the same thing. So where'd you go? Where'd you go, God? No, God didn't go anywhere. He was there at the beginning. He says he's the beginning and the end. He was there before we was even born. And when we was born, he was there. And he's held our hand ever since then. Every day since then, he's been there. I know God protects little children before they are able to know right from wrong and everything else. There's no doubt in my mind. He holds their hand. He cradles them. He comforts them. There ain't no better comfort than that. And then when they get old enough and they come to accept him, from that day, he's walking beside them day by day. Day by day. He's walking beside you if you're saved. Day by day. Day by day. But we get so caught up in the world's click, we don't see him no more. It ain't God's fault. God ain't changed. We have. We need to see God. We can see God. We may not see him in a physical form, but you can look over there and know he's there. You can feel him spiritually. And there's no problem too great for God. There's no problem too great for God. Because I'll go back to my example on that wreck. Now, that truck that I was in weighed 10,000 pounds, roughly. The last time I weighed it before I wrecked it, it was 10,250 pounds with me sitting in it. So it might have been 9,990. But it was 10,000 pounds. And as a person laying there under it, I couldn't get it off of me. And you go look at that truck and you explain to me why it didn't squish me flat like I said a while ago. It was flat on the ground. The only spot that wasn't on the ground was me and my head. But when they flipped that truck back over, now a little bitty car hit it now. And I reckon the only thing I can tell you was that the Lord said, if you're going to hit it, you ain't going to kill it. Because that little bitty car moved that A-frame on that truck. And dented the door 2.5 feet above where it hit it. It dented the door where my arm ended up laying at. Otherwise, my arm would have been gone. I mean, it took my ear half off and took some skin off, but it kind of growed back. And they sewed my head back. Well, sewed the skin back on my head. It didn't come all the way off, but I think if it had come all the way off, I'd have sworn they'd turn it around. Because my hair grows backwards right there. And once it gets about that long, it gives me headaches. So that's why I'm still bald-headed. But, amen, ain't it funny? We can laugh about it now. We can laugh about it now. But you know what? I've heard people use that example, and they talk about it a little bit, and they say, man, he sure was lucky. I said, no, luck had nothing to do with it. They said, well, how long was he in the hospital? I said, 2 days. They said, what? I said, 2 days. The wreck happened on Tuesday morning at 6:58. I laid under that truck for about hour and 45 minutes. Took a crane to lift it off of me. Then they loaded me into a helicopter. Now, I'm awake through all this now, mind you. All I could hear was our choir singing Amazing Grace. That's what I heard. I'd talk to them a little bit, and then I'd just hear music. Everybody I know was there on the EMS and rescue squad trying to... I think they used the needles big around as my finger and about as dull to give an IV to me because, man, I was ready to fight him when he stuck me in the arm. But, you know, people can look at that, and like I said, they say a lot about luck, but all I could think about for the first couple seconds was there's a 25-gallon propane tank right under me and a 30-gallon gas tank full. And I ain't burning. I don't want to burn. So, me in the flesh not wanting to burn, I was hunting my gun. My gun was 85 feet away. In the middle of almost in the middle of the CVS parking lot. The big one. There was nothing in there, and I finally found it, but I gave it to the EMS man because they didn't want him to shoot me with it when they started sticking me with IVs. I remember the red streak. I remember hitting the brakes. I don't remember sliding across the road, but I was fully conscious and fully aware of what was going on before everything quit falling inside the truck. And I knowed without the Lord's help, I wasn't getting out from under it because I couldn't get out from under it. But that happened. I'll get back to my timeline here and trying to explain what I'm saying. But that happened on Tuesday morning, 6:58. I spent Tuesday night in the hospital and cleaned myself up. I don't know if they was afraid of me or what. But I spent Tuesday night cleaning asphalt out of my head for about 4 hours. And Wednesday night, spent it in the hospital. And Thursday morning, I come home. I was a sight. I looked like Frankenstein. So that was Thursday morning. Let's see. Tuesday was the 7th. Wednesday was the 8th. Thursday was the 9th. Friday was my wedding anniversary. The Friday after the wreck was my wedding anniversary. So for my wedding anniversary, we went and looked at the truck. That was on Friday. And then Saturday, I don't remember nothing on Saturday. I might have stayed in bed and rested. But on Sunday, I got to come to church. I didn't get to lead the choir. Wayne filled in for me, but he couldn't sing. For crying, because I come up there to sing. I didn't want to go nowhere else. We need to see God, folks. If you get your eyes on God, all this other stuff will get in place. If you get your eyes on God, you won't think about, it don't matter if I go tonight. If you get your eyes on God, you won't think about, they got enough to go for visitation, or they got enough to go to that nursing home, or they got enough to go do this or do that. If you get your eyes on God and what He's done for you, you'll say, that's something I can go do. You know what? We need to be serving God. We need to get our eyes on God and serve God. Think about that prayer request that gentleman told me to pray about. Just give me strength to hold on. I mean, you know, God's able to answer any prayer He wants to answer, but I believe He answered that one. I believe He will answer it. Till He calls that man home, he'll have enough strength just to hold on to the faith of just holding on. But He can do the same for us. But all, you know, we often say, Lord, increase my faith. Well, you know what? Lord don't have to increase your faith. We need to just dust it off. We got plenty. Like I was talking about, that's enough. That was a valuable commodity then. And whole worlds were bought and traded with spices. That's why Christopher Columbus discovered America. He's trying to find a shortcut so he could get spices back home quicker, make more money faster, because it was worth so much money. But now you can go buy it. I mean, it's still expensive, and it's going to get more expensive with fuel the way it is. But spices are, you know, it still only takes a little dab to make a whole lot of change. And they're still expensive, but it's not like it used to be. But that's the reference here. It's not that it takes a lot to do anything. It don't take a lot of faith to do anything. It said if you had a little bit of faith, you could move mountains. I believe we got some faith here. We need to put the faith to work. We might face a few mountains, and we may not get them moved. We just need to pray for the strength to climb them, and a full backpack and a full canteen. We need to go at it with the attitude, it might take more than a day, but amen, I'm stuck in it for the long haul. You know what? We got 5 nursing homes. I don't know why I'm hitting on nursing homes. Ain't nobody standing behind me hitting on them nursing homes. But anyway, we got 5 we do a month. You got 5 opportunities a month. You may not can go to all 5 of them, but if you can go to 1, you ought to be there. You know that? And we got church services on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You may not can make it to all of them. You may have to work. But don't not show up for that and then go to a bunch of ball games. You're cheating yourself out of some blessings. And if you want to know the truth, I think we get more blessings out of nursing home ministry than the folks that are there at times. Because it sure was a blessing to me yesterday. And like I say, I didn't preach very long. I didn't get to preach for about 10 or 15 minutes. But I believe I brought the message what the Lord wanted us to bring. And those people that were touched by the songs, they were touched by what the Lord had to say in His message. And then we got the opportunity to pray for a lot of them. And that opportunity to pray for a lot of them was more of a blessing to me than getting to sing or getting to preach. Because they didn't ask for get me out of here. They didn't ask for money. They didn't ask for material things. They just asked for a little bit. And we got a lot and won't do nothing with it. But amen. When do you see God? That's my message tonight. I'm going to stop right there. Miss Davis, if you would, come to the piano.